This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Amy Scott. When you visualize the American dream, chances are there's a house in there somewhere, most likely a detached single-family house. In a lot of neighborhoods, that's all developers are allowed to build because of zoning regulations. But that's starting to change as cities nationwide grapple with a housing shortage and the history of racial and class segregation. The state of Oregon just banned single-family zoning in much of the state. Emily Badger wrote about these developments for the New York Times and joins us now. Welcome back to the program.
Hi, Amy. It's great to be here.
So you describe single-family zoning as practically gospel in America, but it hasn't always been that way. How did that come to be?
So zoning is this concept that really started to spread all across the country starting in the 1920s, which is when the Supreme Court said it's totally kosher for local communities to try to do this. And, you know, part of what zoning said was you can put your commercial land over here and your residential land over there. But the other idea that a lot of communities really embraced was sort of separating the residential land so that neighborhoods over here have only single family homes in them. And we see in lots of cities across the country, 85% of the residential land is devoted to this one idea, which basically means it's illegal to build anything other than a single family home in that much of the land.
And the maps in your piece are really striking in cities like San Jose, California, Charlotte, North Carolina, Arlington, Texas. You have these seas of pink representing single family zoning with these tiny little pockets of green where more density is allowed. What has been the effect of all that pink?
There are a bunch of issues that are all bound up in zoning, many of which are coming to a head right now. So in one sense, there's this problem where vast single-family housing and single-family zoning has contributed to housing shortages, has made it really difficult and expensive to build more housing in these cities. Another concern that a lot of people have about single-family zoning is that, you know, if you can't build enough housing in these cities, it's going to contribute to sprawl. It's going to push development further out. There's also a lot of racial inequity and racial injustice that have historically been baked into the idea of single-family zoning, even if that's not the intention of zoning laws in the 21st century.
And now you're seeing what seems to be a growing movement to undo some of that history, to allow more density. Talk about what recently happened in the city of Minneapolis.
So Minneapolis, in December, the city council there voted to end single-family zoning across the entire city. And what Minneapolis was saying was, you know, we are going to overnight change how 70% of our residential land is classified and what's possible to build there. Once Minneapolis did this crazy thing, other cities started to call Minneapolis and say, how did you do this? How did you talk to the public about this? Places like Portland, Charlotte, Austin, they're also starting to have these conversations. And, you know, to have an entire state in Oregon say, we're fundamentally going to rethink this too, up the ante even further beyond what Minneapolis had done.
Is the opposition to these changes just basically NIMBYism, you know, not in my backyard, which, as you pointed out, is often tinged with racism and classism? Or are there some legitimate concerns, you know, things like traffic, congestion? You mentioned sewer capacity in your story.
Yeah, I mean, there are absolutely legitimate concerns that people have about what kind of change is going to be unleashed by this. You know, I don't know what's going to happen in my neighborhood. I don't know what's going to happen to my property value. I don't know if, you know, the local school system can accommodate more families in this neighborhood. And on the other hand, we have people making much more kind of global arguments about, you know, is this system that we've built going to promote, you know, the climate change goals that we have as a community? Is it promoting economic equality? And there's a lot of tension between those two sets of arguments.
More density is supposed to create more affordable housing, but what's to stop developers from just building more luxury townhouses or duplexes on the lots that used to have single family homes?
So there are two different sort of strategies at play here. One strategy says, you know, let's try to make the market work better. Let's create more supply so that the cost of housing comes down. But the other strategy has to be this more intentional public policy choice that says we're going to mandate that some of this new housing that gets built with this added capacity actually is being offered to people who cannot afford to pay market rate.
Emily Badger wrote about the actually fascinating topic of zoning for the New York Times. Emily, thanks.
Yeah, thanks for having me.